be after those who are on the margins and bring them into society. So that's a lot to take in. Like, what does that actually look like? What if we lived by that call of James 1:27? So I'm going to attempt to be tech savvy and play a video. Let's see if it's loud enough.
When a child is removed from their home and placed in foster care, an inherent trauma happens, a fracture of what should be the most stable unit in a child's life, their family. Kids enter foster care for different reasons, but once in care, trauma still happens. They move homes, are separated from their siblings, and the crack in the family grows. A child can spend years in foster care. And during a time when they should be establishing roots, trying new things, being kids or teenagers, they face instability. And as a child waits, if they can't return home to their families, and if they aren't adopted into a new one, they will age out of foster care without the roots, without the support, without the connections, but with the statistics stacked against them, their education suffers. They become more likely to be incarcerated and more likely to experience homelessness. And statistically, they are more likely to have their own children taken into foster care, sustaining the cycle of instability, of brokenness. But what if the church, what if we united around the call to pure and faultless religion, believing that caring for the orphan, for the children of our city, for the struggling family is at the center of our call as God's people? And what if we answered this call? What if, as the church, showing radical hospitality, we open our homes until every child has a place to thrive, so no child is waiting and every family has the support they need? What if we said that we will be responsible for the kids of our city? We will be responsible for making sure they have the foundation they need to be the doctors and teachers, the advocates and leaders that will change our world. What if the church stepped in at the beginning? Stepped in to support that family in crisis before that fracture, that trauma ever happens? And what if that meant everyone, every one of us, married or single, old or young, could do something to make this happen? Could open our homes, could mentor, could support, because it will take more than just one individual, one family, one church. It will take a city that understands the weight of its responsibility and the hope that each child embodies. What if we were that city? What if you were that church, that open home, that mentor, that support? Will you join us?
That video gets me every time. I feel like I'm trying not to cry. I don't know why. But yeah, so DC 127, as you kind of got a glimpse of that. So for us, our faith really moves us to action, to advocate for family preservation and stabilization. And so this slide is like a simple graphic, but really shows the way that we live that out through our three core programs. So we have foster care prevention, foster care support, and church mobilization. And so Communities for Families is what we call our foster care prevention work. It's a little softer. If a family was seeking support, if we're like, you want to sign up for foster care prevention, I think that would turn a lot of families away. But the name really says it all, right? We're creating community and support around families, which are also often single moms, teen moms, new moms, right? And so probably a lot of you can relate to that. I'm currently pregnant and I'm like, I have some resources and I'm overwhelmed. So I get it, it's a lot. But for us, we really, through that prevention work, work upstream to ensure that children don't enter into child welfare, into that system, as that kind of video described. And we wanna make sure that we can really keep families together. And we do that by building trusted relationships with parents that are seeking that support. So they're on the margins, they're on the edge, they're facing instability. And so we wanna make sure we come around them through a strengths-based approach. So treating them as the expert of their story And so they really dictate their needs and how they want to move their family from unstable to stable, because we're about empowering families. We don't want to strip that dignity from them, but we recognize and hear them that they need some support. And so that program is really our most thriving program. And we've literally seen significant growth over the last few months. So like we're serving 60 plus families, which might sound like a low number for a two-person team. That's a lot of families, which is incredible, but also overwhelming when you think about the need. But it's a 6 to 12 month program, and we're really focused on goal setting and wraparound support, because again, we want to make sure that parents can move from instability to stability. And so that's why we give them kind of a longer term time in the program to give them the space that they need. But this is systematic, it's volunteer supported, and that effort, what we see is that we can remove parental barriers, we see that feeling of overwhelm and isolation decreased, and ultimately we see stronger parents and safer homes. And so that's kind of the outcome of that program. And while our hope is that every child or children stays and remains within their family, we know that there's still a need for foster care, and so that's where that middle pillar comes into play, because we want to create a safety net and make sure that children are ultimately safe. And so we recruit individuals, families in DC that want to be licensed and kind of serve in that way, which we know is not for everyone, but it's still a great need. And again, we also support through this program teen parents that are in foster care in and aging out, so that way they can enter into independence with security, safety, resources. But ultimately with this program, we want to limit the amount of child placement disruptions, because as again, you heard, the video does a better job than I can in 2 minutes, but we want to limit that trauma and that kind of disruption that foster care already has in people's lives. And then lastly, our church mobilization program kind of brings us all home, right? Because that's where the huge theme of community comes into play. And to ensure that families can reunite and children can stay together within their homes, it really takes the whole community. And so for us, we partner with churches in the DMV and other nonprofits, because we really want to make sure we can recruit, train, mobilize volunteers, foster homes, and really do this as a united front. But also what I love about the church mobilization program, not only our volunteer work that we do, but right now we're in the midst of like all of our seasonal drives. So our coat drive, we had our back to school drive, we're working on our Thanksgiving drive, which we've never done, which is awesome, and our Christmas drive. So if you're like, I wanna get involved, see me after. So who do we serve at DC127? The slide that you're reading is gonna focus more statistically or referencing our Communities for Families program. But for us, we're really passionate about families, if you didn't get that sense already. But we know family is uniquely defined for everyone, so it's really hard to put a definition to that. So whether you're a teen parent, a single parent, a two-parent household, a birth parent, a resource parent, which is also a foster parent, right, we're here to support you. And for us, as you can see on this slide, and as I've probably hinted at a little bit, but most of the families through the foster care prevention side of the work that we do seek support, whether they were referred by a cousin, a neighbor, a coworker, word of mouth is our biggest one, a support worker, a caseworker. It usually comes down to, I don't have a support system. I don't have family, I don't have friends, I don't have a community. And so again, that's where this program fills that gap. And granted, I know we can't do all and be all to all people, but that's what's powerful, is that ultimately they're known, they're cared for, they're heard, which sounds small, but it's vital. So really our goal is to make sure that every parent, regardless of background, how you were raised, how you were parented, what's going on, you can support your family and nurture them in a loving home. So again, like I said, I talk fast, so Emily, you're coming up. But what is the impact of this? And I think broadly, most people know, right? Foster care is hard. Foster care is a lot. But it affects a lot of the big issues that we hear in society. Addiction, incarceration, domestic violence, right? All of these kind of stem from childhood and trauma. And so just for those who live in the city, sorry, I don't have the stats on Virginia or Maryland because we're a DC organization, but as of March of this year, that's when the stats have been updated, there are 573 kids in foster care. That's a lot. That's just in DC. So for us, obviously, as an organization, we hear that, we see that, and we want to reduce that number. So for us, we do that through recruiting, training homes, making sure there are individuals, there are couples that can be licensed. So we would rather see have all these homes that are ready to receive children and children that don't need homes. But unfortunately, that number is flipped. So we'll get there one day. Or through our prevention work, right? Families are supported, they're stabilized, they don't need intervention. And we really believe that children will thrive within their families when parents are empowered. I'm sure all of you feel that, right? When you have that resource, you know somebody knows what's going on in your life, you're known. And just even having access to resources, like, that's so important. Parents who are program achieve at least one goal, if not more. And those goals they come up with on their own, because I'm not gonna tell you what you need, I'm gonna support you and cheer you on. But it's often around employment, housing, parenting, financial. And so we work with them, like I said, over 6 to 12 months to reach those goals. But once you achieve a goal, you're known, right? Your confidence increases. You feel more supported. Through that program, they get a volunteer, which is essentially like a friend. Like, we kind of like create a friendship through that, which is not always perfect, right? It's hard to kind of meet somebody in a different life stage, or maybe you're like, I've never gone through that. That's new to me. But really, these relationships are what kind of ties everything together. And as you can see, right, parents are not as isolated, they're not as overwhelmed, they have access to resources, they feel connected. And these relationships last beyond our program, which is way more powerful because we don't want to create dependency. And so as they leave the program, they can still talk to their volunteer, which is incredible. And as a volunteer, your impact is that connection, right? You're being consistent. You're doing what you say you're going to do. And you might be like, I just called JoJo like once a week. What's the big deal? It's a big deal. Think about it when a friend or a family member is like, how are you? How was your week? Like, how can I encourage you? How can I pray for you? It's so small, but it adds up. And so for what we see through the program, like, that impact to me is almost greater. Like, I love when they get their goals done, because obviously, like, that's vital to the program, because that's showing the effectiveness of what we do. But when I hear about what volunteer and parents are doing, like, you're creating a model for future relationships, which is so, so important. So I'm gonna let Rosetta tell us a little bit about that. She was in our program early in the pandemic, so she might hint at that, and you might be like, that is just how we live our lives now. But I think it's still a really powerful story, so I'll let her share.
Hi, my name is Rosetta, and this is the overview of me being with DC127. I've been with DC127 since June of this year. With their help, I started counseling right away, which left a positive impact on me. When I started counseling with my therapist, I had bad anxiety and was really stressed. These things I couldn't speak of to my family because I didn't feel comfortable, and I just knew they wouldn't understand my circumstances and my situation. I just really wanted to just thank her for being supportive of me, being there to teach me lessons that I never knew and things that I've never even thought about that can help me with my process and my anxiety. And I can't forget my volunteer, Ashley. Ashley is amazing. She has been there to support me and my family, for sure. She has been there through my crying times, and I have been very grateful for her being in my life. through those processes. It's been a very hard and difficult time for me the past couple of months, which I know everyone is going through the same thing. But I appreciate all her love and her giving of her heart to, you know, just making me feel better as a person. I thank you for being there for me, actually. I really appreciate that. And I also thank DC127 for all what they're doing for not just me, but for everyone else out there that needs that help and support. So thank you for all your help. I really appreciate it.
So I'm going to put a shameless plug in, because obviously I want you to know about who we are, but it's also nice to know, like, what can I do? Sometimes you hear things and you're like, I'm just sitting with this information. Like, how do I get involved? And so volunteering is such a great way. And we'll hear a live testimony in a moment about a real volunteer and doing your work. But for us, it might sound overwhelming. Like, I don't have the time. Like, where do I start? How do I connect with someone? You know, hearing Rosetta's story, for example. But it's really just meeting families where they're at. And especially as other moms, like most of the families that we serve dads, we serve grandparents, but right now it's mostly single moms. And so, or teen moms. And so for that, you have a lot in common already. Talking about kids, talking about different life stages. I'm not a parent yet, so you can tell, like, the term sometimes, I don't know what to say, but that is so crucial, because there's a foundation, even just being women. You know, the parents often just, like, it's sad because we're such at a need for volunteers right now. They're like, just someone who's open. And I'm like, oh, that's every volunteer, because they wouldn't show up if they weren't open. But they really just want to connect with someone that they know will be there and cares. And so really the biggest thing that you're fulfilling is that social relational need. And I'm not saying, again, you have to be, you're definitely not your counselor, you're not their mentor, you're not your boss. But you are befriending a parent who is just needing some much needed support. And so you might not be an expert on housing or finding a certain job or setting up benefits, and that's okay. That's where DC127 comes in, to support you who's supporting the parent. But the big thing is you get to encourage them, cheer them on. Some are like, I need someone who's gonna hold me accountable. So you might be really good at that, or you might be someone who is really a great cheerleader. But this I love and get passionate about, because one, we have a need for it, but it's so unique to, you know, a parent could go to an organization, get food and leave, but they're not known, there's no relationship. And so for us, like, that is the core and the root of it. And I love it because you're moving beyond transactional encounters and really seeking to genuinely know people, which is not easy, it's hard. It's easier to say, here's $100, like, fix whatever you need, which there's value in that. I obviously will put a plug in, you can give to us too. But this is really powerful, and it's so mutual, because it's not just, I'm giving to JoJo. JoJo's giving to you. And I'm sorry, I picked names that we don't have in our program, but there's JoJo's out there. So you can obviously learn a lot. You can give perspective, but oftentimes I hear volunteers give me feedback and they're like, I got way more out of that than I thought I ever would. So if you're sitting here and like, I want to do something, do it. But I think the best example of this is I want to invite Emily up. She's been an active or current volunteer with us since the beginning of this year. So she's been doing more of a long-term commitment, which I would say is above and beyond, and it's Emily. We asked 6 to 9 months because that's the length of the program at minimum. Because again, we want to create consistency and stability, and we're not kind of switching up volunteers throughout their time and tenor. But Emily has been so involved, and I just want her to explain kind of how she got involved. How does she do that with multiple kids? Time is not something that probably any of you have. So I'd love to just kind of have her share, and then I'll wrap up after.
Hi guys, my name is Emily. I am the, oh my gosh, Joy, the outreach.
Community outreach.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard name. And I wanted to talk to you. I have been a volunteer now for almost a year, and I wanted to kind of explain what that looks like, kind of the bare bones, I call it, of like what I do every month, and then just how that plays out in my life as a mom of three kiddos. So I started volunteering with DC 127 when Madeline was 5 months old. So she's my youngest. So bare bones is you're matched with, now I know DC 127 on their website, and as Kelsey spoke a lot about families, but just so you guys have an idea, of those 60 families right now that are with the program, 59 of those families are mothers and their children. So I'm gonna use the word mamas, just because that's really the majority of the people that we're talking about. So you're matched with one mom. It's a 6 to 9 month commitment. You're connecting with that mama once a week, and you're checking in. It takes about 5 minutes per month. I do this little online thing to make sure that I'm communicating with Kelsey, how we're moving along with our goals. Am I allowed? I talked with her yesterday. I'm allowed to use her name? Okay.
If she said yes.
Yeah. That's fine. Okay. I did, I think, 2 weeks ago, too. So I talked to Jumani, the mom that I matched with, who I told you about a little bit 2 weeks ago, and I spoke with her last night, and she knows I'm speaking. She even gave me, do not let me forget to read her quote. And I'm encouraging Jumani in the goals that she has set up. They preset those up with DC 127. So on that initial meeting with Jumani, which was over Zoom, it was myself, Kelsey, and Jumani, and they had already set up the goals. Kelsey helped lay out those goals so that I was aware of them. And then Kelsey also set the tone for the expectations, made sure we were both on the same page. We exchanged phone numbers, exchanged emails. Was it a little awkward? Yeah. I mean, you're meeting someone for the first time. It's like a setup, right? And you both volunteered and signed up for this, but it is a little awkward at first. You don't know each other. And then my role is to provide that social and emotional encouragement, which sounds elusive. Is that the right word? I'm not very verbose as Jess. And to provide stability for a vulnerable mother that is feeling isolated, stressed, overwhelmed, probably like a lot of us in this room, which I also wanted to say, these moms are not looking for the perfect, like some mom that has it all together. That would probably kind of be the last thing that they would want, right? Like perfection is not what they're seeking in a volunteer or in, you know, having this friendship. So how that plays out in my day-to-day life is really, the word intentional just kept coming to my mind as I was thinking about it this week. I am very intentional with Jumani. So what that looks like is me connecting with her once a week. Now for us, we are both moms of six-year-olds. Jumani is also, she has graduated high school and now is in her freshman year of college. We prefer text or voice memo. What is that? When you hold the thing? So that's what we prefer. We talk on the phone maybe once a month. I called her last night, you know, but we're putting our kids to bed. We're both parents. And so for us, about 15 to 30 minutes, I was just estimating how much time do I spend, because I know you guys want to know, like, how much time does it take? So texting once a week, however, I would say max 30, and that would be, like, extreme. But I check in. I'm intentional about, so I'm not helping, if one of Jumani's goals is finding a job, I am not going on the internet and researching jobs and spending hours looking up the qualifications and matching her up. I'm simply sending a text, hey, how's the job search going? Okay, and then she lets me know, hey, I actually have an interview with Chick-fil-A next Wednesday. So then I take out, most people take out their phones, I take out my paper agenda, and then the next Wednesday I say, Jumani, Chick-fil-A. then I'll shoot her a text. Again, back to that intentionality. So I'm intentionally checking in on what is going on in her life. And we go through, as Kelsey kind of said, you know, we work through her goals. So her goals in the beginning were to get a driver's license, get a job, finish high school. She was the first one in her family to finish high school out of 7 children. And Jemani herself did not have an easy, I told you a little bit about it 2 weeks ago, but she has been in foster care since she was 12. So we have the same age daughter. So she has raised her daughter, and it has not been easy. And so my role in Jemani's life is to encourage and support her as a mother and provide that social and emotional, that friendship, that encouragement, so that her daughter, you know, does not end up separated from her in foster care. So what that doesn't look like, providing social emotional support, what that doesn't look like is just handing them money. And, you know, there was an incident where when she was switching foster care homes, she lost a lot of things and was very upset. So what that looks like for me as a volunteer is not, let me go out and buy you all these new things and hand them to you. What that looks like is calling her up, letting her vent. I mean, she's only given a small stipend per month by the government, and all of those things were lost. So I'm just talking to her about that, saying, yeah, that is really difficult. That's super stressful. And then I contacted Kelsey. This is what happened. I just wanted to let you know and be aware of the situation. My husband's such a good speaker. He helped me write a lot of this. He goes, I think an important thing to say is that there is no superior and inferior person in this relationship. Jemani has helped me. She's 18. She's an incredible cook. And I just recently had to take over cooking for my family. Last night when we were chatting, she told me, we found out that both of our 6-year-old are having stomach issues. And she told me to try Pepto-Bismol. And I hadn't thought of that. So I'm not here to fix Jemani's problems. I'm not here to make everything right financially. I am providing that intentional friendship. And Kelsey kind of spoke a little bit about this, but I didn't get involved for myself, right? I didn't get involved to feel good about myself. But through DC-127, I have realized how much I deeply, as Jessica kind of said, like, your life when you have kids is dramatically flipped upside down in a way. And I hadn't been given an opportunity to be this impactful with a ministry or with someone that is in need. And through DC-127, I've had the incredible opportunity to cross paths with another mother who I never, ever, ever would have met, and to show them the love of Christ, to come alongside her in her life, get to pray with her. It's a much longer story, of course, but from awkwardness in January to she brings, you know, her daughter to, we go to church, she comes to our church now, and our daughters are in the same class. And she now wants to bring her four of her siblings, her biological siblings that live in D.C. And just something interesting when I was reading the Kindred website and the DC-127 website is how, and this is where I feel like God is really aligning these two beautiful ministries. It says, Kindred is a ministry that serves mothers in all stages of parenting. Christ is shared with mothers who feel tired or discouraged in the midst of a culture where loneliness is commonplace. Volunteering with DC-127 is a unique opportunity to form an intentional relationship with a mother to provide a much-needed social and emotional encouragement to moms who are isolated and overwhelmed. And it's just, when I was looking at both the websites, I'm like, wow, these are very, very similar. And so what DC-127 has given me is the ability, the opportunity to extend this sense of belonging and community that we have here that is not commonplace, to people, to people that I would have never, to someone, just one person, to someone that I most likely would have never met. But I get to take this beyond these walls. And just as Jess said, like linking arms with someone to walk and do life with. And then lastly, I just wanted, so when I called Jumaane, I told her what I was doing, I told her what I was speaking, and I told her that I was would be talking to a group of moms. And so she texted me this morning. DC-127 has been a very helpful and great resource and helpful thing in my life as a teen mom, with guiding me through my goals and helping me with the struggles, and also partnering me with a very important person that has been very helpful. Miss Emily has shown me that nothing is impossible while being a teen mom. And that brought tears to my eyes when I read it earlier. My encouragement to you is that this is not something like coming alongside another mother. This is not, and foster care is amazing. I don't have the capacity right now to do that in my life. This is very doable, and makes a huge impact in another mother's life.
Yes, we are 5 minutes over in our, right? Yeah, and so.
I think we've said it pretty okay. much. I mean, you've heard it a time and time again.
Yeah.
You can pray, you can give, you can volunteer. Just a quick plug, if you're like, I really want to foster, we only license and work with families in D.C., so I'd encourage you to look into Virginia or Maryland for that resource, just because I don't want you to go to a training and then it doesn't count towards that. But if you live in D.C., sign up. And there's sign-up sheets on the table, so I did want to at least put that plug in. But thank you for having
thank
us.
You.
Wonderful.
And also,